It's been 3 years since civil war erupted in Sudan, when a power struggle between Sudanese armed forces, the Rapid Support Forces, and their allies broke out in April 2023, launching major conflict across the region. Since, 14 million have been displaced, with famine declared 3 times. But while conflict rages on, experts have termed it the forgotten war, despite being labelled the world's largest humanitarian crisis. To get a feel for experience in the region, The Wire's Sam Giorgio heard from Amnesty International's Betty de Sluijgen, International Mobilising Coordinator and spokesperson for Sudan.
Day-to-day life in Sudan currently is survival. We found that over 14 million people have been displaced. So they're essentially fighting to not be killed. They don't have access to healthcare. People who are opposing what's happening are facing attacks, harassment, and detention. And we've seen a number of massacres that we've reported at Amnesty International. For many people in the community, it really is survival.
Like you said, there's been 14 million civilians displaced from their homes. How has the Sudanese community managed and coped with this?
So for Sudanese communities, particularly in Australia, they face a lot of emotional and financial taxing where they're almost trying to contact their families to see if they're alive, which has been really difficult. We're quite close to the communities there. Like my parents, seek refuge in Sudan. It's a very community-minded view, but for many Australians, particularly here, it's been quite painful.
It has been termed the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. What do international communities need to be doing, and how does the role of social responsibility come into it?
The first thing would be to center Sudanese voices in this, particularly around accountability and changes or conversations around peace. What we've asked the community internationally is to be pushing for accountability with their local governments, because there is a number of players with Sudan. So Sudan's quite rich in resources. It's also located in a really powerful location in the region. So a lot of this is power and access to resources. I would love to speak on behalf of the community. Yesterday was very heavy, particularly around Sudanese communities in Australia. It was a really painful reminder that the violence hasn't stopped. And for many people, they've had to step in financially, they've had to contact and support survivors. And Australia, has a big role to play in this. And it's not something that's quite far removed. We're not a bystander, and we've got diplomatic, economic, and political leverage. And we're really, calling on the Australian government, calling on Australians to really, push our government to do more.
Experts have termed conflict in Sudan the forgotten or even abandoned war, particularly as conflict in the Middle East and Ukraine have constantly dominated international news cycles. Naomi Brooks, humanitarian and advocacy lead at the Australian Council for International Development, points to the media's influence of public perception around these crises.
It has been labelled as a forgotten war, despite being, in purely numerical terms, but also what's happening on the ground, the largest humanitarian crisis in the world. It's concerning that it doesn't get the attention that it definitely needs. It's not uncommon that as these crises go on, they're less heard about in the media, but it doesn't make it any less important from our perspective that Australia continues to play its role and that we keep remembering and bringing attention to what's happening there. And also to recognise that in Australia, we have a large Sudanese Australian population, and it's definitely not a forgotten war for them. It's very real. And so what Australia does and how Australia responds still really matters.
And what has been Australia's role, and perhaps where do Australia need to contribute further?
Yeah, so you may have seen overnight or in the past 24 hours, there's been a pledging conference for humanitarian assistance in Berlin, which has raised about 1.9 billion Australian dollars approximately, which is great. It still falls far short of what is needed for Sudan for the year, but it's a huge step forward. Australia, I have heard, contributed $7 million to that pledging conference. So it's not nothing. And over the years, since the recent conflict began, has given over 60 million. So Australia has continued to provide humanitarian assistance. There is obviously a lot more need, and we will continue to encourage the Australian government to do more. And I know the Sudanese Australian diaspora community here in Australia is looking for that too.
Now, I'm aware that famine and displacement is significant in Sudan. 11.6 million people are currently forcibly displaced, according to the UNHCR, and nearly 34 million require humanitarian aid. Famine has been declared three times. What coping strategies have been used, I guess, in the previous 3 years amid this crisis?
Yeah, I mean, those numbers are terrifying and obviously continue to grow, and particularly with what's happening in the Middle East and the impacts of the fuel, that number will continue to grow and more people will become food insecure because there was fuel shortages and disruptions to humanitarian assistance in Sudan prior to what's happening in the Middle East. So this will only compound what is happening. But in terms of how people are coping, I mean, we've seen all kinds of footage and stories coming out about the kinds of things people are eating and what's happening on the roads when they are displaced and they are being pushed to move. Like, people are really struggling to survive at the moment. And when you don't have food and you don't have clean water and you don't have the basics, being asked to or being pushed to move out of your home and into refugee camps into an underfunded humanitarian context is really, really difficult. It all comes back to the fact that the world needs to keep remembering what's happening in Sudan and continue to give more priority to the humanitarian assistance there, because those numbers are staggering and they just shouldn't be allowed.